Hello, Fins Nation. Welcome back to the Fins with Frisch podcast. Normally, right now, I say there's a lot to get into, but there's not. It's really not a lot to talk about. The team is garbage, complete garbage, one of the worst teams I've ever seen, and we'll just get into how garbage they are. We've got the statistics to back this up. We've got information. That's actually where we're going to start. So, look, I'm not going to talk that much about the Cardinals game. I'm not going to talk that much about this upcoming Bills game. I was supposed to go to the game. I have canceled my flights to the game. Jeremy and I, we had a hotel. We had all this stuff, and it's all canceled. We're not going. It's too much of a hassle. We're not going to watch us lose by 60. We'll watch it on TV instead. But I want to start here because I was doing a little bit of research. The Dolphins have 5 losses. Now, there's 4 games that they're definitely going to lose. In Buffalo, in Green Bay, in Houston, versus San Francisco. They're not winning any of those games. I'm going to tell you that right now. Especially by the end of the season, because the team's a bunch of quitters, and we'll get into that. But the Dolphins are going to lose 9 games. Now, I think they're going to lose the Jets once. I think they're probably going to lose in Los Angeles on primetime to the Rams. I mean, that's just, you know, road game. I guess the Rams aren't that good, but road primetime game, the Dolphins don't do well in those situations. I actually don't even know the last time we won a game on the road in primetime, to be honest with you. But maybe it was the Saints game in 2021, honestly, against, what's his name, Ian Book. I was doing a little bit of research. So if we lose those 4 games that I just said, and then we lose to the Rams and we split with the Jets, that puts the Dolphins at 11 losses. Now, I had known for a fact that since 2007, after we went 1-15, the Dolphins have only had one team with a worse record than 6-10, and that was Brian Flores' tanking Dolphins in 2019, and they went 5-11. So I knew that off the top of my head, and I thought, well, I just want to make sure. I don't want to give you guys bad information, right? I got too much integrity for something like that. So I went and I made sure. And what I found was actually shocking. This is the 55th year of Miami Dolphins football. Now, we know they went undefeated in 72 and they won the Super Bowl again in 73. So they won back-to-back Super Bowls. And that was before Dan Marino got there. So we know that we've had a pretty storied franchise history. But at the same time, we also lead professional sports, major professional sports in the United States, in most years without a playoff win. So we've been complete garbage since 2000, and that just happens to be the year I was born, so if you want to blame me, you can feel free to do that. What I found was that the Dolphins have been worse than 6-10 3 times in 55 years. So what that means is that if this team goes 6-11, and it's very likely that they will, by record, be a bottom 4 team that the Dolphins have put out onto the field in the last 55 years. You know, as Bill Parcells says, you are what your record says you are. You know, maybe, look, Bill Parcells is not God. It's not like everything he says goes, but it's a pretty good football coach. And with the amount that's been invested into this team, money, time, right? This rebuild started in 2019. Time, money, draft picks. We had 9 picks in the first 2 rounds in the years 2019 and 2020. There is a very good chance that this team goes 6-11 and has the 4th worst record since the Miami Dolphins joined the NFL for Miami Dolphins team since the Miami Dolphins joined the NFL in 1970. So, what can be done about this? What lessons have we learned, right? Let's make this into a history lesson. We could talk about some things that the Dolphins need to do going forward. And usually, if I had started this podcast in 2018, when there were, you know, late season, there were rumors swirling that they were going to tank, and Stephen Ross had said that if we need to win 2 games next year to get a quarterback, then that's what we'll do. We're not going to go between 6-10, 10-6 anymore. If this were 2018, 2019, I would talk about what they could actually do, you know, who they could trade, who they could draft, QBs that were in college. But now I just want to talk about the actual organization, things that need to happen. Look, first of all, let's start with Zach Seeler. Zach Seeler got poked in the eye on Wednesday of last week, right? And now apparently he's got a fractured orbital. And I said in a Twitter space, I wouldn't be surprised if Zach Seeler's out for the season. Now, I actually like Zach Seeler, and I don't believe Zach Seeler is a soft player. If I had to keep two players on this whole team, it would be Devon Achane and Zach Seeler. There's nobody else I want. And they can both go too, just because I would like to get rid of every single player on the team, every single human being that goes inside of the building on a salary, I think needs to go. But Zach Seeler, he's been good for the Dolphins, undrafted free agent in 2019. I was mad at him for helping us win the Bengals game when I wanted to lose and get the first pick, and he had a big tackle in overtime. But this is something I talked about in a Twitter space. I said, I think Zach Seeler's out for the season. And I exaggerate. People are like, why do you say that? Well, and then I started giving examples of other players. Jelani Jenkins and Byron Maxwell in 2016 were week to week. They were maybe going to play next week. They were questionable for every week starting in like week 8, only to just never play again in the season. Will Fuller in 2021 he had a finger injury. He broke his finger, he sprained his finger, whatever it was. And obviously, this was nothing. That's the thing with a lot of these guys that missed the whole season on the Dolphins, a lot of the time they just look totally fine. No one sees them get injured, and we just find out, oh, they're out for the season. Or they are maybe coming back next week, and they never actually come back. They're out for the season. The Dolphins need to enact a zero-tolerance policy for nonsense. So that needs to come from ownership. That needs to come from the top, because Greer and McDaniel need to go, and we'll get into that. But there needs to be a zero-tolerance policy for nonsense. We talk about the Patriot way, and the Patriot way doesn't work for other teams. And I'll tell you why Brian Flores is a perfect example of it not working. A lot of people attribute the Patriot way to, you know, just being tough, right? Being scared of the head coach. Like Brian Flores, apparently the players couldn't talk in the hallways. They had to be quiet in the hallways, and everything was serious. But that all goes out the window when you have a guy like Will Fuller faking a finger injury and missing the whole season. So if you remember, if you don't remember what happened with Will Fuller, after week three, Will Fuller hurts his finger. And for all we know, he didn't even hurt his finger. And every week, the reporters are asking Flores for an update. Finally, in like week 8, Flores couldn't confirm if he had been in the building in a month. And this is all for a fake finger injury. So if I'm a player on the team and the coach is acting tough and I can't talk in the hallway, that's one thing. But if he's going to go get in the press conference and be asked about a player who I know isn't even injured or I know is not in the building and say, yeah, maybe he's coming back next week, I'm not going to look at that coach as a serious guy. And this nonsense it's not just Will Fuller. It happened in the Gase era where Jelani Jenkins and Byron Maxwell somehow were week to week for 12 weeks and missed playoff games. This nonsense has been going on pretty much my whole life with the Dolphins. We had a bullying scandal in 2013. Lawrence Timmons went missing before the first game of the season it was 2017. That was the hurricane year. So this has been going on forever. And when I say there needs to be a zero-tolerance policy, it's this simple. Well, Lawrence Timmons goes missing. It's 2017. It's actually week 2 because week 1 game was canceled due to a hurricane. And obviously the NFL took our bye because the NFL hates us. But Lawrence Timmons went missing. Okay. Well, Lawrence Timmons was fine. So it's this simple. And I actually don't remember. Maybe he didn't play the next week. I think Gase held him out for a couple weeks. This is how it would work. Lawrence Timmons is gone missing. Find out he's okay Monday. So he's okay. Have a conversation Tuesday. Head coach calls him to the office. Hey, Lawrence, you're fired. You're cut. You're off the team. You went missing before a game and there was nothing wrong with you. You're off the team. Will Fuller, you're faking a finger injury. You're cut from the team. Javon Holland, you don't want to play in the playoffs because you've got a knee injury, with air quotes around the knee injury, because he could have played if he wanted to. You're cut from the team. Hey, Tyreek Hill, you want to be here? You're not going to be on Twitter making jokes when we're losing games. The best teams in the league don't do this stuff. And the teams that are viewed as teams with talent but really can't win, which is really just the Dolphins and Cowboys, well, what do they have in common besides terrible head coaches named Mike that should both be fired? The best player on both their teams is podcasting and tweeting about stupid things and content creating after losses. And they feel comfortable doing that because these are not serious franchises. So Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel obviously both need to go. But there needs to be messages sent right now. So people say, you know, I was on the phone with a friend and he's like, well, what does firing Mike McDaniel do today? People on Twitter are saying, what does firing Chris Greer do today? He's not making any roster decisions right now. Well, it shows that nonsense and terrible performance is not going to be tolerated. Chris Greer has been a garbage GM for 5 years. What message does this send to the next GM that you could just be terrible for as long as Chris Greer has been terrible and not be fired? What message does it send to the next head coach that you can be as bad as Mike McDaniel has been? You can put out a product that is so incompetent that during the Titans game, the announcer was saying, this tape should be put in the Hall of Fame just to show how incompetent this game has gone. And I have friends texting me, what is going on with your team? They can't line up. They're running fake or onside punts. The whole thing was a disaster. What message does it send where someone looks at the Dolphins when they're interviewing for the head coaching job and they could see how incompetent of a product Mike McDaniel has put out there and think, well, he didn't even get fired? Liam Eikenberg is in his fourth year with the Miami Dolphins. Liam Eikenberg has been the worst lineman in the NFL for 4 years. I don't care what PFF says. I know he's been a little better than this season than he's been in the past. The bar is extremely low for him. In fact, the bar is actually underground for Liam Eikenberg. So him improving means nothing to me. It actually means zero. Right? This is not... We're not guidance counselors. We're not celebrating kids who had straight Fs and now they've gone from straight Fs to half Fs and half Ds. We're not doing that. Liam Eikenberg is a garbage football player and he should have been off the team a long time ago. And I said before the season, I said, well, Liam Eikenberg, I don't care if his backup is worse. The backup should start. Liam Eikenberg should be cut. Why? Because it sends a message. If you're going to be as garbage as Liam Eikenberg has been for that long and you could still be on the team, what level of accountability do I feel as a player if I'm coming in? Imagine being Devon Achane, right? Imagine being him and you come in and you're like, wow, this left guard Eichenberg is freaking awful. He's going to be replaced soon. And you find out he's been on the team for a while. So you start to think, oh, he must be a solid lineman. He's having a couple bad weeks. He's been here for a while. And you find out, oh, he's just been the worst lineman in the league for 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is. His rookie year, I think it was 3 years. And then he's still on the team and starting next year. You're like, wow, there's zero accountability. It makes it so players like Tyreek Hill feel comfortable podcasting, joking around on Twitter. They have a culture of nonsense. And rather than a culture of nonsense, what they need to build is a culture where there is a zero tolerance policy for nonsense. If you're not performing, or if you're engaged in some sort of scandal, you are fired or cut the next day. That's what needs to be happening here. You know, like after the Bills game, whoever was responsible for allowing the largest gap to be open on the history of punt return defense in the history of the NFL, there should have been guys cut. And I said Adam Gase was an awful head coach. But at least what Adam Gase did after the Titans game, and I've talked about this before. Adam Gase, we had a Titans game 2016. It was week 5, so we were 1-4. Maybe it was week 6. Maybe we had our bye then. Maybe we didn't have our bye. Whatever it was. It was the fifth game of the season. There were a bunch of backup linemen playing. And Tannehill got sacked 6 times. And Billy Turner and Dallas Thomas and Jameel Douglas looked like they didn't want to be there. So he cut them right after the game. Fired them. And Jameel Douglas, by the way, was in his second year. He cut a second-year lineman because of a bad game. He actually cut three linemen. And Dallas Thomas was actually starting. And, you know, there were rumors he was going to start over Laremy Tunsil. Or maybe it was Billy Turner, one of them. Billy Turner ended up being okay. But that sent a message. And by the way, it's not directly correlated. The Dolphins won. They went 9-2 over the next 11 games. They made the playoffs. They had a coach that sent a message. We don't have a coach. We don't have a player. We don't have a GM. We don't have anybody in the organization that's sending a message that garbage play and nonsense won't be tolerated. If you remember, another thing that Gase did, Gase was a big Tannehill guy, but Brent Grimes' wife had been ragging on Ryan Tannehill on Twitter, not even Brent Grimes. Gase said, quote, "We're not going to be having any of that," and cut Brent Grimes. Now, obviously, a lot of other nonsense went on with that team, but you need, those are the types of actions that the next head coach needs to take. The second part of this is the Dolphins need, when they go out and they hire the next GM and the next head coach, and by the way, the good news is the three times the Dolphins have had a worse record than 6-10, two of them, it resulted in a coaching change, and the other year they were tanking. We are not tanking this year, so hopefully it results in a coaching change. It 100% should. They need everyone to be on the same page. This regime, everyone was not on the same page. The Dolphins, Chris Greer made moves as if they were in win-now mode. He brings in Tyreek Hill. He brings on in Teron Armstead. Championship moves. And then they go and hire a first-year head coach. If you have a roster that's ready to win now, you don't hire a rookie head coach. It's just not something that you do. The 49ers, before when they hired Kyle Shanahan, they didn't have a win-now roster. When you're going to give a coach time to develop, right? You don't do it when you have a short Super Bowl window, because even though the Dolphins liked Tua enough, they didn't think he was Patrick Mahomes, unless they're completely delusional. I think there's no way they're this delusional. They knew that Tua did not have the skill set that Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes had. It just wasn't there. So you know when they hired McDaniel in 2022, this guy's going into year three. He has a fifth-year option. Our window is probably 2-3 years. And that's why I would get so frustrated when people would say, "Oh, McDaniel's learning." It's like we didn't have time for him to learn. That was a massive mistake, one. And two, well, this is kind of a different topic, but we'll just go into it here. I want to talk about what needs to happen with the rebuild. And it's not just they need a coach and they need a GM that's on the same page. And sorry, to back up, I know I got all over the place for a second. In terms of not being on the same page, the Dolphins brought in a head coach, ownership, management, GM, they were on the same, I know GM is management, they were on the same page, we're going to tank. The GM got rid of everybody. And then they bring in a head coach that's not on board with tanking. Then the GM says, "Oh, we're going to win now, build a championship roster." Then they bring in a coach that needs to learn clock management. Oh, and by the way, just still hasn't learned clock management. No problem there. Just hilarious, man. Guys that are almost 40, they need to learn clock management. You learn, I don't want to go on a tangent, so all I'll say, it's simple as this. When you know basic addition and subtraction and multiplication and division in second grade and you play Madden for two Madden games, 8 years old, you know clock management. So Mike McDaniel, 40 years old, doesn't know clock management. Anyway, they need guys that are on the same page, coaching, management, ownership, all have to be on the same page, one. Two is you can't look for your savior. And we're going to get into the Lions very shortly in a second here. We're going to be comparing what needs to happen to the Lions rebuild for very long time. That's probably going to be, I bet that on every episode for the rest of the year, unless the team does something interesting, which they won't, we're going to be comparing us to the Lions. Because one, they have our head coach. We should have Dan Campbell. It's unfortunate. But two, they did such a good job at rebuilding the team. And every team that rebuilds, they don't look to rebuild in the way that the Lions did, but they should. What a lot of teams do and how they end up hurting themselves is they will strip away the roster and look for a savior. And we had this exact conversation last week, so I'll keep it short. If you're interested, you know, you can go look at the last episode. The Dolphins got rid of their whole roster to look for a savior, right? The Panthers got rid of their whole roster to look for a savior. The Jaguars, whole roster, they wanted to get Trevor Lawrence. And then, ironically, the teams that end up finding the good quarterbacks are Washington and the Houston Texans, and they didn't gut their whole roster to find the quarterbacks. They just kind of happened into them. Maybe it's luck, but I can't find an example of one team that knowingly destroyed the roster for a specific quarterback and things worked out. It just hasn't happened. The Dolphins and Jaguars did it for Trevor. The Panthers did it for the first pick, and all of them are just set up very poorly. The Panthers don't have a lot of assets, and they're complete garbage. The Jaguars and Dolphins have, well, quarterbacks that are making a lot of money and not performing, and not good futures. So that's one, but two, we talk about line play, right? The Lions didn't, one, they didn't gut their whole roster, so they didn't have to rebuild everything. The Lions were not good. But when Dan Campbell came in, they had a guy named Taylor Decker. So the Lions offensive line, they've currently got three studs. Taylor Decker, they got Frank Ragnow, the center, and Penei Sewell. All first round picks, by the way. The Dolphins in 2019, when they were looking to, quote, tank for Tua, they got rid of Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil was a great left tackle, and he's still a very good left tackle. And he will continue to be a good left tackle for the Houston Texans, who will be competing for championships over the next few years. The Lions extended Taylor Decker in 2020. Nobody thought the Lions were going to be good in 2020, or 2021, or 2022. But the Lions understood finding offensive linemen is not an easy thing to do. And they're valuable. That's why the Texans gave two first-rounders and two second-rounders for Laremy Tunsil. I guess Kenny Stills was part of that trade too, but he didn't make a big difference. Taylor Decker, and then they drafted Frank Ragnow in 2018. This is everyone looks for a quick fix, or many people will look for a quick fix, right? In 2019, we all wanted the Dolphins to be good quickly because that's what we were promised. We were promised we're going to rebuild, and within 3 years, we'll be really good, and after we drafted Austin Jackson in 2019, we didn't take another offensive lineman in the first round. The Lions, on the other hand, in 2021, they go out and they draft Penei Sewell. Sorry, 2018, when, again, the Lions were not a good team, they go and they draft a center. So now when you look at the Lions' offensive line, here's what I'm getting at. I'll just get to the point. They've got Sewell, Ragnow, and Taylor Decker. Two of those guys came from a completely different regime. The Dolphins, their big mistake, they made two big mistakes. One was they got rid of every single asset on the roster. They got two first-rounders and two second-rounders for Laremy Tunsil, right? Well, who they draft? They drafted Austin Jackson with one of the picks. Let's talk extra first-rounders. Austin Jackson, Robert Hunt. Austin Jackson is not a better tackle than Laremy Tunsil. Robert Hunt was great. He's not on the team anymore. They should have kept him. That's another mistake, is not keeping Robert Hunt. Then the next draft, and I didn't look at which were which, but 2022, when you look back now, or 2021, the Waddle draft was a complete disaster. Waddle, you know, it looked great for a bit, but no, the first two rounds are now a complete disaster. Jalen Phillips is injured, and I feel terrible for him, but he's injured. Javon Holland doesn't play anymore, and Liam Eikenberg's obviously horrible. And Jalen Waddle, we should have drafted Penei Sewell. So that trade ends up, which everyone championed Chris Greer right away, that trade ended up horribly. When you have a good offensive lineman, you don't get rid of him. Those are the types of guys you pay. The whole Robert Hunt was, we don't want to overpay Robert Hunt. We're paying Tyreek Hill, we're paying Jalen Ramsey, all these guys. The Lions were paying offensive linemen. They extended Taylor Decker in 2020. They extended Frank Ragnow in whatever it was, 2021 or 2022, before anyone even knew the team was going to contend. Those are the guys you keep. So when we talk about windows, the Lions had a starting point. They kept their offensive linemen that were good. The Dolphins get rid of their offensive linemen that were good. And they decided that they could scheme around a garbage O-line, which they clearly can't do. They haven't been able to do. So, that's the first mistake. And the second mistake that they made is they brought in a bunch of injury-prone players. So, look, this year, a lot of people, not a lot, really, the community of Dolphins defenders is a lot smaller because, I mean, it's difficult to defend. They've been complete garbage. The community of Dolphins defenders has come out and they're trying to say, well, if Tua wasn't injured, if this guy wasn't injured, but Jalen Phillips, if he wasn't injured, you drafted these guys and brought these guys in knowing they had an injury history. So if Brandon Bean, the GM of the Bills, right, the Bills are, you know, their expectation is Super Bowl win. If the Bills don't win, if Josh Allen in week three tears his shoulder or blows out his knee, and Brandon Bean comes to me, I'm the owner of the Bills, and says, well, I should get another year, Josh Allen was hurt, I'd say, okay, you're right. You know why? Because that's a freak accident. Josh Allen doesn't have an injury history. Josh Allen takes hits from linebackers every week, and he's been doing it his whole career for 7 years, and nothing ever happens. He never gets injured. It's a freak accident. I will attribute it to that. Tua, this regime brought in Tua, knowing he had an injury history in college. In fact, the conversation around him was, do you take him knowing that he has all these injuries and he's probably going to continue to get injured because he's going to be that great in the NFL? He's going to be that special. And he's not that special. It's a disaster. Tua had an injury history. Teron Armstead, injury history. Bradley Chubb had an injury history. Jalen Phillips had an injury history. I love Jalen Phillips, and I feel awful for the guy. But Jalen Phillips, it's looking like, will not be a great pick. And you can't say that's bad luck when the injury history was there. Even Jalen Waddle, I mean, he doesn't get injured a lot. He gets hurt. He goes on the ground, cries. We go to commercial, comes back in the game. Jalen Waddle had an injury history in college. Devon Achane had an injury history. You cannot bring in a bunch of guys because this goes to the accountability of the team. The accountability is not there because you bring in a bunch of guys and either they're on the field together and they're playing well, or they're on the field or some of them get injured and you just say, well, it doesn't, you know, I should get another year as the GM because all these guys got injured. And I guess, you know, they could be on the field not playing well together, which is actually what happened in the Ravens game before Mike McDaniel got Bradley Chubb injured. But the point I'm trying to make is the Dolphins got rid of their good players in hopes of a savior, which was a mistake. It's never worked. And then they brought in a bunch of injury-prone players, and they all got injured. And hindsight's 20/20, but you look back, these mistakes are now obvious. Get linemen, keep the good ones you have, and don't bring in a bunch of injury-prone players. Now, the problem, of course, with this team is there's actually no good players on the team that are worth keeping, that are that good. Tyreek Hill has not had 100 yards in a game versus a team with a winning record since week 3 of 2022. The closest he came was against Dallas last year, the biggest frauds besides us, where he had 98 yards, and he dropped what would have been a 90-yard touchdown on the second play of the game. So, Jalen Waddle, I want to highlight this pick for a second. The Dolphins had a very good offense in 2022-2023. And Jalen Waddle was a big part of that offense. Now the offense is slow. Jalen Waddle isn't having as good of a season. Now, the Dolphins had no receivers. This was before Tyreek Hill. The only receivers on the team were, when they drafted Waddle, were Devontae Parker. And I don't even know who else was on the team. I think Preston Williams was there. That was before they brought in Will Fuller, who faked an injury. But the Dolphins had no receivers. And everyone thought they needed a receiver. And they were in a position to draft Penei Sewell, right? I mean, we had the third pick, and Penei Sewell went 7th. So they could have drafted Penei Sewell. Instead, we trade down and draft Waddle. Jalen Waddle will not be on the Dolphins when the Dolphins win a Super Bowl. None of the people that are on the team are going to be on the Dolphins when the Dolphins win a Super Bowl. It's just not, except for maybe Blake Ferguson. And who's our kicker? Jason Sanders? Yeah, he won't be there. He's terrible. Why is he still on the team? No one's going to be there. Penei Sewell could very well be on the Lions when they win the Super Bowl. Penei Sewell will be on the Lions for the next 5 years at least, at a minimum, without outside of a freak injury or something off the field happening. Penei Sewell will be a Lion for 5 years. Jaylen Waddle, the only reason Jaylen Waddle would be a Lion for the next 5 years is because of incompetence, which, well, actually, we are a pretty incompetent franchise, so maybe that happens. And before I get into Clown of the Week and dumbest comment by a beat reporter, I want to just highlight one last thing. The Dolphins organization, and this kind of ties back to my original argument. I meant to bring this up then. I forgot, but it's important, so I do want to highlight it. I love ragging on the New York Giants. They're just a garbage, incompetent franchise full of horrible players. But if you go on Twitter, a lot of people will convince themselves that their own players are very good. And this is what teams do this too. Teams convince themselves players in-house are better than they are. So what will end up happening with terrible franchises like the Dolphins and the Giants is they will end up giving their guys not unlimited chances, but they'll give their guys plenty of chances. Daniel Jones is in his sixth year as a starter in the NFL. Daniel Jones has been a bottom five quarterback every year he's been in the league, except for the year they made the playoffs. He was maybe bottom 10. Like they made the playoffs and won the playoff game because of the defense and Saquon Barkley. It had nothing to do with Daniel Jones. The only good game, he had a good game in the playoffs. They were playing a bottom three defense. That's fact. The Vikings they allowed the third most points in the league that year, or yards. It was one of the two. They were a garbage defense. They fired their defensive coordinator the next year. And they gave Daniel Jones an extension to appease the fans. Isaiah Hodgins is still on the team. Giants fans think Kayvon Thibodeau is as good as Myles Garrett. Not actually, but they think highly of guys that aren't good. And the Dolphins do the same thing. The Dolphins have Liam Eikenberg is in year four as a starter. He should not be on the team. The Dolphins gave Ryan Tannehill 6 years, 7 years, whatever it was on the Dolphins. What, 2012 to 2018? So 7 years. He got 7 years with the team. Meanwhile, the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are not even a good franchise, but they're better than the Dolphins and Giants. Colts won a Super Bowl a while ago. They had Peyton Manning. The Colts made the playoffs. They had Andrew Luck. You know, the Colts are whatever. The Colts moved on from Anthony Richardson in year two. Anthony Richardson's complete garbage. They said, all right, this guy's horrible. He is not going to be our starter, at least for now. Teams move on from guys. Even the Cardinals saw 1 year of Josh Rosen. The Cardinals are not a good franchise. Got rid of Josh Rosen right away. Teams like the Dolphins and Giants, they keep garbage players around for long periods of time, and it sets up a situation where there's a lack of accountability. And going back to Zach Sealer, who's going to miss the season while he's week to week every week for the rest of the year with a poked eye, a broken orbital bone, nobody understands how it's possible, but whatever. Mike McDaniel allows a culture of softness. And when you allow a culture of softness, well, it's infectious. Everyone becomes soft. And this is a team full of quitters. Javon Holland quit on the team at the end of last season. People say his injury was painful. You can say that, and that may be true. And they can say, why don't you try playing with the injury he had? Well, I'm not in the NFL. And there's plenty of guys in the NFL that do play through injuries. Flacco was playing with the torn ACL, or maybe it was Rivers, one of them, playing on a torn ACL in the playoffs. Ray Lewis in the Super Bowl run was playing with either a torn bicep or I think it was a bicep. The Dolphins have no toughness, and they're 2-5, and they're going to continue to lose games. They're going to lose this week to the Bills. They're going to lose next week to the Rams. They're going to be 2-7, and then guys will come up with injuries. Tyreek Hill. Mark my words. Tyreek Hill is going to have a soft tissue injury, and he's going to miss games. We're going to be 2-7, and then Tyreek Hill will have a soft tissue injury, and by the end of the season, everyone will be wondering, how'd the whole team get injured? Well, some of the injuries are real, but there's going to be plenty of injuries that are they're a symptom of being a soft football team that's on its way to not being better than 6-11. Okay, clown of the week. Oh no, actually, I'm sorry. I apologize. We have to do stupidest comment by a beat reporter. Look, we're going to keep these short and sweet because, you know, I'm already making myself sick talking about one of the most incompetent organizations in the history of the United States, in the history of the world, in the history of the universe, in the history of time. So, again, short and sweet. So, stupidest comment by a beat reporter is Omar Kelly. I'm not going to find the tweet, but first of all, Omar Kelly is a troll and a clown. He just disagrees with pretty much general fan consensus. Whenever the Dolphins are good, he says the Dolphins are bad. Now the Dolphins are just objectively a garbage football team, and he's running around talking about all the good things. He's saying Raheem Mostert's the best player on the team. The guy's just an idiot. Man, Omar Kelly is the worst. I can't stand the guy. And another thing he does is, you know, he claims he watches trench play. He claims all fans watches the ball, and he watches trench play, and he's an expert on offensive line, on defensive line play. He's not an expert on anything except being a mediocre troll. Now, what did he say this week in his trolling? Well, he posted a GIF of Leonardo DiCaprio and said, "What was Mike McDaniel's fireable offense?" And basically he's insinuating, the way the GIF works, or the GIF that he posted, the way it's posted is, he's insinuating Mike McDaniel's done nothing to be fired. Well, it's the same offense that's gotten every other head coach fired in the history of football. And that offense is being a terrible coach, coaching a garbage football team, putting out a garbage product on the field. That's what gets you fired in the NFL. That's Mike McDaniel's fireable offense. A team that has poured money and draft capital into the 2024 roster is very likely going to end up being one of the four worst teams in the 55-year history of the Miami Dolphins in the NFL. That's his fireable offense, Omar, you bozo. Now, clown of the week. Again, we're not doing nominees and all that. We're keeping this short and sweet. I've spent too much time talking about this awful team. And the clown of the week is Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is, well, why is he the clown this week? Other than another terrible game by him. He's had 100 yards one time since week 3 in 2022. So, you know, he hasn't even been playing that well. It's an illusion that Tyreek Hill is the best receiver in the NFL. And this week he's been going after people on Twitter. He keeps telling them to cut the tape. Apparently he's open. And maybe that's true. Maybe Tyreek is open and maybe nobody can get him the ball. But we talk about this culture of nonsense and Tyreek Hill's a massive contributor to it. He's got no heart. He lost to his former team and tweeted about how his lips were chapped and how he got jammed to Cancun. He's not a leader, and if he is a leader, well, he's leading this team to, again, bottom four finish out of 55 NFL Miami Dolphins teams, because they had a few years in the AFL, so we got to congratulate Tyreek Hill. Congratulations to you, Tyreek Hill. You are the, what week is it? We're 2-5, we had a bye, so you're the week 8 clown of the week. You would have a difficult time finding a larger clown than yourself at a street fair, circus, or the birthday party of a young child. And with that being said, we will get into the preview this week. Bills Dolphins in Buffalo. Are we going to pull off the shocker? No, we're not. Absolutely not. Oh my goodness, are we going to pull off the shocker? No, the Dolphins are not going to pull off the shocker. The Dolphins don't pull off shocker. That's what people don't realize. The only team the Dolphins ever beat on the road that was good that I can remember was the Patriots. Not on the road. The only team that the Dolphins beat that was like a surprise to people were home games against the Patriots. And they would see them twice every year. When was the last time we beat the Bills in Buffalo? Last Dolphins win in Buffalo. Let's see if it comes right up. Of course not. Why would it come right up? Whatever. We haven't beat the Dolphins or we haven't beat the Bills in Buffalo since 2016. How could I forget that? I just pulled it up. Yeah, that was awesome. It was one of the best games. Andrew Franks from 55. So we have not beat them. What was the last one before that? I mean, I'm just looking through here. 2011. Two wins in Buffalo. The best part about this is before Josh Allen, the Bills were garbage. Horrible team. Dude, they beat us 19-0 with Dad Lewis in, I think it was 2013. Whatever. All right, score predictions. I have now picked against the Dolphins every week since week two, so I've been right 5 out of 6 times. No, 4 out of 5 times. Yeah, 4 out of 5 times. Well, all right. I'm going to say that I think we score 10 points. Bills, 63. All right, I've got us losing 63 to 10 this week against the Bills. Oh, actually, quickly, when it comes to Clown of the Week, sorry, I forgot to mention, I have to do a little more research on this, but I haven't been looking much outside the Dolphins circle for Clown of the Week because there have been so many clowns within the organization. But Steven Ruiz is claiming Justin Herbert's been the best quarterback in the NFL for the last 3 weeks. Again, nerds like him ruin football. They have their stupid abbreviations, EPA, DVOA, and then they show you a couple highlights, and then they draw a conclusion, and they try to make you feel stupid. But you are not stupid. You know more football than Steven Ruiz. In fact, every human being knows more football than Steven Ruiz. So where were we? Oh, yeah, Bills 63-10. The Dolphins will not win another game until... Dolphins might lose to the Raiders. Everyone thinks, like, oh, the Raiders are terrible. So are we. Antonio Pierce is a better coach than Mike McDaniel. But anyway, that's all I got today. 63-10. We need to get rid of everybody. And the zero tolerance policy needs to be enacted. No tolerance for nonsense. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Fins up.